Mr. Chairman and friends. As you've just heard, we come this evening to the fifth lecture in our series, An Introduction to Tibetan Buddhism. And we are having this series, we are having this course on Tibetan Buddhism specifically because of the very definite interest which does exist amongst some people in this particular subject, this particular branch, as we may say, of the total Buddhist tradition. As you've just heard, we've completed already four lectures in this series, which means that we're halfway through the total course. So this might be a good point at which not only to recapitulate a little, but also to take stock of our position generally, especially as the whole course, the whole series of lectures falls quite naturally into two halves. The first four lectures, as already just mentioned, were first of all on how Buddhism came to Tibet, then on the schools of Tibetan Buddhism, thirdly on the Dalai Lama, his reincarnations, and fourthly and lastly, the subject we had last week, monks and laymen in Buddhist Tibet. Now these four talks which we've had so far form, as it were, a single group. They're all interrelated, they're all interconnected on a single plane, a single level, as it were, because they're all, in character, mainly historical and, as it were, institutional. If I may say so, or in a sense, a trifle exoteric. Now, the remaining four lectures of the series, these will be on, first of all, the symbols of Tibetan Buddhist art, secondly, on the four foundation yogas of the Tibetan Tantra, thirdly, on Tibetan Buddhist meditation, and then finally, we consider the subject of the future of Tibetan Buddhism. And just as the first four lectures formed a more or less self-contained group, mainly dealing with the historical and institutional aspect of Tibetan Buddhism, in the same way, the second four lectures also form a sort of natural group. But this time the emphasis, the interest, if you like, is more specifically religious and practical, even in a sense, a trifle more, in the case of one or two lectures at least, esoteric. And it may therefore well be that the second series of four is of greater interest to some people at least than the first series of four in the total course. Now today we're concerned with the subject of the symbols of Tibetan Buddhist art. Many of you, if not most of you, I'm sure, have seen examples of Tibetan Buddhist art, either Tibetan painted scrolls, rather colourful objects which the Tibetans call tahankas, ritual implements like dorjes and bells, and so on. And it may be that you've been able to appreciate them as art, appreciate and admire their beautiful colours, shapes, and so on, but you may not have been able to understand the underlying symbolism of these particular works of art. And for this reason, on account of this lack of acquaintance with the symbolism, perhaps you've been unable to appreciate the religious significance of these works of Tibetan Buddhist art. And therefore it is hoped that this lecture may help to throw just a little light into what is perhaps, from the Western point of view, one of the darkest corners of Tibetan Buddhism.